By all reports, it's very difficult to get anything done on Capitol Hill. Both parties are complaining about it.
The Democrats' definition of bipartisanship is to unveil their own partisan bill and then expect Republicans to vote for it. I know bipartisanship when I see it. And it's not saying one thing and doing another.
That's Republican John Boehner speaking on Capitol Hill just a few days ago. But President Obama has also addressed this and says it's not just Democrats that are having a problem.
Progress doesn't come when we demonize opponents. It's not born in righteous spite. Progress comes when we open our hearts, when we extend our hands, when we recognize our common humanity.
That's the president speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast yesterday. So if we have gridlock on Capitol Hill, if we can't seem to find any common humanity between the parties, how on earth are we going to get any legislation passed? To talk about this, we have Nate Persily. He's a professor of law and political science at Columbia University. And William Ury is the co-founder of the Program on Negotiation at Harvard and co-author of the bestseller Getting to Yes, Negotiating Agreement Without Getting In. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
William,
good morning.
You've mediated a lot of conflicts in a lot of different areas. So can you give me an idea of how bad is it in Washington right now?
Well, I mean, they're not killing each other, but it's pretty bad in the sense of they're...
We got that going for us.
They're absolutely frustrating the country's ability to actually solve some very basic problems that face us all, and they're engaged in basically a contest in which each side is trying to win absolutely at the other side's expense, and the result is lose-lose and lose for the entire country.
So Nate, it hasn't all... I mean, the parties have never gotten along. I mean, the point is to distinguish yourself from the other party, right? But they haven't always been at this point where their definition of winning is the other party losing. So how did we get here?
Well, the parties right now are more cohesive than they've ever been, and they're also more ideologically farther apart. And by that I mean that there were historically we had, for example, the Southern white Democrats who were sort of brokers between the parties. But those folks have sort of disappeared for various reasons with the realignment to the South. And so we don't have that moderate middle who can sort of shift between the Republicans and the Democrats. And so the geographic and ideological bases of the party have become much farther apart.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing when you think of it in terms of focusing a party on, in and of itself and bringing everyone kind of in line.
Well, that's right. We have political parties that are very similar to them to parliamentary systems right now, where you have identifiable Democrats and identifiable Republicans. The problem is, in a system like ours, which has many veto points in the House, the Senate, the President, the more cohesive the parties are and the farther they are apart, the less likely you're going to have policy being made.
Unfortunately, this leads to the problem of always needing 60 votes to get anything passed. Right? Here's President Obama talking about that.
If the Republican leadership is going to insist that 60 votes in the Senate are required to do any business at all in this town, a supermajority, then the responsibility to govern is now yours as well.
So, William, we have this essential issue where now it's gotten so far that you need 60 votes to get anything passed.
That really is an innovation. The use of the filibuster for normal policymaking is sort of unprecedented in American politics. It used to be that you'd have these legislators, you know, in the Senate up all night on very important bills, and that's when they would stake their claim. But now, even the threat of a filibuster is preventing any policy from being made.
And we're also not seeing legislation where people cross over the aisle. I mean, that's relatively new as well, where seems like every single bill, even the most basic things, are Republicans yes, Democrats no, or the other way around.
Well, that's also because there are very few moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats now by historical standards. It used to be you could peel away some people from the opposing party. There are fewer people to be peeled away right now. Everyone concentrates on the Republicans, on, you know, Olympia Snow and the few other Republicans who might be moderates, and then everybody points to Joe Lieberman and Ben Nelson and others on the Democratic side.
And they kind of demonize him. William, you know, this atmosphere now is so central to our political landscape. I honestly can't imagine how you possibly could change it. I mean, can we change it?
I think we can. I think we have to change it, and I think we can change the basic game, the way in which we deal with our differences. And it has to begin by building relationships. I mean, like President Obama went the other day to, as a symbolic gesture, went and spoke with the House Republicans at their retreat, and they invited him. I mean, that's a step in the right direction. But basically, I mean, in the old days, people used to stay in Washington. They didn't just fly back on the weekends, and they used to actually socialize with each other, play card games and so on. I mean, they had a relationship. They built personal relationships of trust. Now that's becoming an increasing rarity, and I think we also need to begin negotiating out of the cameras. It's impossible. It's very difficult to negotiate in a fishbowl when you're negotiating on cable TV. And you know, we use Camp David, for instance, you know, for international disputes to get, you know, leaders out of the limelight, to really get them rolling up their shirt sleeves, you know, working together. Maybe we need to create a kind of equivalent of Camp David for domestic disputes.
Oh, so you're saying blame the media? This is where we are.
Well, it's not blame the media. It's just as hard when it's easy to fall back into ideological positions when you're on camera. That's it.
So Nate, if we get a Camp David, as William was just talking about, who attends a Camp David?
Well, it's not clear to me that the Republicans feel that they have much of an incentive, actually, to compromise. And this is also, it seems, a little bit unprecedented in American politics, where there's this notion that we have to get certain things done, but the Republicans don't see why it is that they have to compromise. And so now they have 41 votes in the Senate right now, and they're using it as a tactic in order to exact certain compromises from the president. And they don't see any reason why they should sign on to a health care bill or why they should sign on to a jobs bill, because they don't see any political benefit for them.
So William, when someone isn't motivated to compromise, how do you negotiate?
Well, I think what we need to do is, right now the negotiation is going on entirely about positions. It's my position, and I'm not giving in. And when it's about positions, people fall into a kind of fight, a kind of fighting mode. We need to be able to peel behind the positions to really get the conversation focused on what are the underlying interests. What is it that we really want? What is it that we're really concerned about? Are we concerned about the fear of government intrusion? Do we want to, you know, take care of the needy? How are we going to balance those two? You need to begin to, instead of attacking each other, you need to begin to jointly attack a problem together. And that requires, in any negotiation where you're negotiating,
it's kind of bringing us back to the president's idea of finding the common humanity. That's William Urey, co-founder of the program on negotiation at Harvard, co-author of the bestseller Getting to Yes, and Nate Persley joined us, professor of law and political science at Columbia University.